At 13 minutes past the hour of 8, we are joined in a studio by the CSO and Jevon Greenblatt. A very, very good morning. Welcome back to Chai FM.
Good morning, Howard, and good morning to the listeners.
So the reason that I wanted you to pop into studio is there's obviously been a tremendous increase in incidents around the world. We've certainly seen America, not only the shuls, but also the streets of New York being a place of concern. We in fact received a report this morning that according to the New York Police Department, 50% of hate crimes reported in the last year were anti-Jewish hate crimes. Now that is a staggering, staggering number. 50% of the hate crimes in the New York area reported to the New York Police Department were hate crimes against Jews. That's very, very worrying.
Absolutely. And when you see publications like the New York Times, so callously printing the adverts that we saw two in a row.
The cartoons, yeah.
The cartoons. Mm-hmm. I suppose it's a natural kind of follow-on from there that people are going to pick up on this. This is no different to the 1930s.
Because it's legitimized.
It's legitimized
by mainstream media.
What is considered mainstream. I think mainstream is becoming less and less mainstream. Mm. And I think they're becoming more desperate to survive because they haven't really adapted to the shift in the media. But at the same time, this is what people listen to.
So, you know, and then I received a message from a listener in Denver on, I think it was Monday morning, and her comment was something like, I'm petrified to go to shul. We don't have security here in Denver, and I'm petrified. Now that is not something that I've ever really experienced, being petrified to be in a shul. But obviously for American Jewry, this is something unusual.
I think American Jewry is starting to find out something that we as South Africans have known for a long time, you know, without going into the sensitivities around it. Mm. In South Africa, we've always really been on our own as a community. I think every community to a certain degree is on their own for the obvious reasons. Mm. Mm. And as much as we do work with the authorities and there are some very, very good people within the systems, we have to look after ourselves. Education, healthcare, social services, and security is right up there amongst them. I think that the answer to her is, you know, you can live your life in fear or you can be proactive and go and do something about it. And we get the same questions over here in South Africa. I'm scared to go to shul, especially after an incident like that. When we see things like when the newspaper articles came out about the Toolsy twins wanting to carry out an attack against King David Lingsfield, when things happen, sadly enough, our community is becoming very desensitized because 6 months ago was a Tree of Life synagogue. Now the next one, a Poway.
Global community.
I'm talking about the South African community because I think as Jews we're all deeply affected by what happens to our brethren all over the world. And this time the response has been that maybe the trust in the system that we have in South Africa is better and people are now starting to recognize and understand how good it is, or they're becoming desensitized, and that worries me a little bit. But the truth is, you can be fearful and you can allow them to win, which is exactly what they want, because if they murder your way of life, then they've murdered you. Or you can be proactive, and the answer to her is go out there, set up a team, train the community, and make sure that your shul is strong and proud and able to operate without fear.
So how are we doing here? I mean, given the incidents that have happened in the United States and given what has been a reality in Europe for very long, I kind of see us as a bit of a hybrid. We obviously don't have the same concerns and high levels that Europe has, but we are a lot more prepared, or a lot more aware rather than our counterparts in the United States. But as a director at the CEO, a CSO, are you concerned that of copycat attacks, because we can see that the one at the Chabad was very clearly a copycat. In fact, you and I spoke about that some months ago, and this was one of your concerns. Does it become increasingly so?
Straight after the Tree of Life synagogue attack, one of the messages we put out to the community and to our protectors is we're upping our level because we are concerned about copycat attacks. We didn't do it this time around because I think it's now obvious that that is a concern of ours. And we were already on a higher threat level because of Pesach and because of all the other things that are happening in the next couple of weeks in South Africa.
Right.
But definitely we are very, very concerned about it. And I know people feel that there isn't a strong right wing in this country. But I beg to differ. I'm not saying it's at the same level as what we're seeing in Europe at this stage in the States, but there definitely is a massive increase in neo-Nazi, right-wing rhetoric on social media. And to tell you the truth, a number of the anti-Semitic verbal incidents, whether it is, someone, writing something or driving past a school and screaming something, are young white kids that, whether they know it or not, and very often they'll then apologize afterwards because they didn't quite understand what they were doing. But this is where it's coming from. It's coming from their parents and their society. And it just takes one of them to do this. And I think the power attacker, I don't know much about him and we haven't gone into understanding his psyche, but from looking at his parents, clearly there were conversations that were happening. They're very sorry. They didn't mean this to happen. They're horrified by it. Yet he's still, something happened that allowed him to be.
I listened to their report, their comments very, very clearly. And there's little doubt that this is received at home on some level.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that
they never told him to go out and murder anybody. In fact, they're horrified that he did it.
But prejudice begins at home. Exactly. There's absolutely no doubt. All prejudice begins at home. There's little doubt about that. It's interesting that you say that because I've just forwarded you an email that I received last night. From a right-wing type of a person that is of a concern for me, and it is fascinating that we're seeing this all around the world as a that's who's been carrying out the attacks on shuls.
Exactly. So the other side of things is that the right wing and the left wing and the radical Islamists, they're all motivated by the same thing. Mm. So a successful attack against Chabad of Poway is a great motivation to an Islamist to carry it out because they all have the same hatreds, the same fears, and the same end goal. So just because this was perpetrated by a right-wing fanatic does not mean that it's only the right-wings that are now going to copycat or be motivated or inspired by this. The left-wing and the radical Islamists will as well be inspired by this. So, You asked me a question. I suppose as a Jew, I need to answer this in one of two ways, either biblically or using food. So I'm going to use the Bible, not food.
Right.
And say, as a CSO, I think the question was, like, how is the CSO, you know, doing at the moment around security? And, I'll equate it to Noah. You know, 25 years ago, we started building our ark, and everyone was turning around to us and saying, what are you doing? It's the cloud, the skies are clear, and everything's perfect, and you're in the middle of the desert or on the top of a mountain or wherever it was. Yet we recognized that something was coming, that a storm, a flood, whatever it was, is coming. So for 25 years, we have been building this system, this robust system that is there to protect the Jewish community from what we believed was going to happen at that time, for various reasons, all the way through to the rise of the Islamic State in 2014, 2016 justified all of our actions when the Tulsi twins were arrested. And that just continued and grew into 2017, 2018, the Durban bombing attacks, et cetera, et cetera. So we really in South Africa have built an amazing system, probably one of the best in the world, to protect the community by the community. Yet this is a system that requires community. It's not, you know, we as the CSO, and I think people very often say, okay, well, the CSO will take care of it, or the police will take care of it, or someone else will take care of it. But we live in a society, and I think this is what the world hasn't come to realize, is that we live in a society where we need to take, we need to empower ourselves and take care of ourselves. And that's in the West. That's in, you know, the Far East. It doesn't make a difference where you are. And we recognized that a long time ago, and I think the community is coming to recognize that now. So what we really need is volunteers. What we need is a community that understands that they are the first line of defense, and they need to empower themselves to do something. And many are, thank God, and many aren't, sadly, and we really need to get to those people. And then we need money, we need finances to continue doing what we're doing and to continue educating the system.
Do you receive any assistance from government, from state?
Nothing. Nothing. Not a single cent. In fact, we have to raise 100% of our budget ourselves.
Yes.
And we do. I get a lot of questions from people saying, look, America's giving, why don't we petition government? We've tried. It doesn't work. Right. We're on our own, and we really rely on the community to fund this.
Anonymous says, in South Africa, we are incredibly privileged to have CSO. Not many of our community understand what goes on to protecting us. The bottom line is that we always have a role to play, be it through contributing financially to CSO or going on a course or to volunteer. No one will look after us except for our own. This is the new normal.
This is the new normal.
Unfortunately, it is. So just to summarize, obviously the CSO doing whatever they can to make sure there is an increased concern, not because of specific information, but because of a global trend, copycats, right-wing extremism specifically, even though, as we said, right-wing and left-wing, the extremes meet in the middle of a circle. I call it a circle of hate. It's actually to call it right or left is actually a bit ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's a construct. You need volunteers. You need finance. How does somebody get in contact?
So people can either go to our website if they want to donate. That's www.csr.org.za. They can contact me directly on my email, jevong@csr.org.za, or they can phone our offices on 0860-276-276. And we will direct them in the right direction.
Brilliant. Jevon Greenblatt, thank you as always for coming and making yourself very readily available to talk to us and to talk to our community. It's 8:25. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem 101.9 High FM.